Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I know you're
How?
In big time now in the new studio.
Oh,
I
that's
gotta come
right.
In, man.
Yeah, when are you going to be here? Are you back at Pittsburgh yet?
I've been in Pittsburgh, man. I'm just in and out a lot. I was supposed to come in this morning, but I actually have to shoot a commercial for Honda North this afternoon, so I had to move my workout time up.
Oh, okay.
But next week I'll be I'm actually doing ESPN next Tuesday, so I just call you guys for that, let y'all know what I'm gonna talk about a little bit.
All right.
So the week after that, man, I'll be in. Man, I gotta see you guys' new digs.
Oh, it's really nice. You're gonna
it
like
is nice.
It. You won't.
Yeah.
It won't be like that sardine can we were in. It was. I mean, we all like each other here, but when we got a little too close, it was kind of awkward. You have to admit.
Well, you know, man. You know, as long as you guys paid well before we came in, we were fine.
It's true. Now, did you see Hines last night? Have you been watching religiously now?
Of course, man. I watch every Monday now. That's a Clark family ritual.
Now,
right now,
you have to. Now, we understand that you guys had some problems with some officials during the year, and we were with you on that as the Steelers got the short end of the stick. Mate, what happened with the judges last night? That was by far the best performance of the night, and he was getting some of the same scores. Even there was one couple that beat him. Do you think that the Steeler bias has made its way out to Hollywood?
I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure. I think they like Hines, you know. I believe, though, the girl who actually had the highest score last night, I guess the young lady from Disney, I kind of believe she is the one to beat. I mean, you think about the backgrounds of everyone coming there. You got to think someone in Disney who's been acting and singing and dancers who kind of have the upper hand. It seems like the only time she really doesn't do well is when her partner choreographs a bad dance. I think she's the one to beat. But Hines does exceptionally well every week. You know, every now and then the Karate Kid comes in and gives him a little challenge. But I think that, those two, Hines and the girl from Disney, are going to be the bottom two, the last two standing.
Now, Ryan, obviously you compete in the world's most complete team sport, where the whole team has to come together as one. Hines spending a lot of time with his partner. She was in Pittsburgh this past weekend. It looks like they're coming together as a team. That's a strength.
Oh, it really is. I think, though, having someone like Hines who understands that is good. You know, I think that's why a lot of times when the football players and the athletes do go in there, if they have any type of talent to learn how to dance, they do well. They understand cohesiveness. They understand what it means to be a team, what it means to feed off of each other. And when you spend that much time together with a person, you have to start to develop that. And they feel like they're doing an amazing job. They really seem to get along and like each other. And so I think that's really helping them in their dances.
Now, what if it had violated any one of Roger Goodell's personal conduct policies if James Harrison had a chat with those two judges that gave Hines the bad scores?
James not much of a talker, though, guys. You know, James speak with his pads. Y'all know that. So it wouldn't have been a talk. It has to get physical if it involved James. And, of course, it would be against some type of Roger Goodell policy. Everything is that's any fun or that's physical at all. So that definitely would have been a problem. They seem scared, though. You know, they seem to be looking over there. Anytime James is around, I'm fearful. So I can't see other people not being.
It's Fan Warning Show with Steelers safety Ryan Clark in his regular weekly spot. Now, with all the lockout stuff that's going on, it's sometimes tough to sift through. But from what I can gather, yesterday was sort of a win for you guys with the judge ordering that you get back and start talking. Do you guys with the Players Association feel the same way?
We're not a Players Association anymore. You know,
well,
we're
I'm sorry,
a class
yeah.
of players. We're a class of players, so you know, information is not really flowing the way that it was before, but it's definitely a win for us as players because it allows us to talk in a more fair setting. I think initially upon the judge recommending this, the first day of the hearing, the class actually wrote back sort of that same day that we were all for it, that we couldn't wait to do it. And if you listen to the NFL, they immediately said they would do it. And I think the reason being is because they don't want that fair shake for everybody. You know, when you get in front, when a judge presides over the proceedings, you know, what you say is binding. What you say, it has to be ethical. And I think that's the one big thing that we're excited about. The same thing happened in the Reggie White case, and it ended up turning out well for the players. So, we're excited that we're getting this opportunity to negotiate under fair terms, to have things settled under fair terms. And, as we speak to the fans, you know, every fan right now, if you love football and if you want football to be played, you should be praying for an injunction, because that's the way we get back on the field, you know, and they see the different things that are coming through the media. You know, we're showing that we want to play. We want to play by any rules, but we want to play football. And so, you know, we're hoping that the judge is still, you know, debating whether or not to give us an injunction, and, you know, also having an opportunity to be in front of a federal magistrate is awesome for us, and we're excited.
But, Ryan, for all intents and purposes right now, it doesn't even feel like there's anything missing, does there?
I don't know. I mean, you know, we still get to work out, and that's what we will be doing right now. You know, as the draft gets closer, you know, that's kind of when football starts to roll around. You know, teams that have their first mini camps, you know, OTAs come shortly after that. So I guess around that time, you know, we'll feel football missing. You know, it won't be, you won't be able to see, you know, rookies for the first time, you know, early in May. You won't be able to see the first round draft picks. So I think that's when people will start missing football a little bit. You know, that's when football talks really get kicked off and the excitement begins to build for the next season. But right now, you know, we're just working out just as we would be any other time.
How far behind are these rookies going to be if this thing just keeps going and going and going? And you know, even if there is a season, but things don't get settled until, oh, I don't know, sometime between the 4th of July and the middle of August, how far behind are the rookies going to be?
It's going to be tough. I think it's going to be really tough. The summer gives you a baseline and kind of a foundation, you know, to start your learning and to start your building as a player. You know, you're allowed to, you know, get into the playbook a little bit. So when you see things in camp and we're throwing in 20 defenses a day, it's not the first time you've seen it. It's not the first time, you know, you've heard those concepts. It's not the first time you've listened to Coach LeBeau describe what each player does in the fire zone. So I think it puts them at an extreme disadvantage. Now, you know, for a 10-year vet like myself, hey, I'm cool with it. You know, if a rookie safety can't come in and take my spot, nah, let's just play about that. But what I'm saying is, you know, for a veteran guy, you know, it's not as important. But for rookies, it's extremely important. You really want to get those guys in and get them, you know, acclimated to help your team, because in any new year, you're only going to be as good as your young players. You know, what you're shown by our team, you know, how well we did having a Marquise Pouncey, an Emmanuel Sanders, a Jason Worlds on special teams, you know, Antonio Brown making big plays at the end of the games. You're going to need these rookies to step in and make plays if you're going to be successful. So having those guys behind, you know, can't hurt certain teams.
Have you spoken to Ike Taylor, and is he frustrated with what's going on as far as this being his free agency year? I mean, for you, last year it was pretty normal, but it's just so much is unknown here. And with him coming up, has this been hard on him, not only with the lockout, but him being a free agent as well?
You know, I think it's something Ike's been prepared for, not so much the labor unrest, but, you know, being a free agent. And if anybody knows, Ike is an extremely patient person, you know, honestly, and not one that gets rattled a lot. You know, he's a guy from inner city New Orleans, so he's been through a lot tougher things in this situation. It was funny, I was in Orlando, and I was like, you know, maybe let me call Ike, that's where he lives, let me call Ike, and maybe I can see him. And then I realized that people that play in the NFL don't really answer their phone. So, you know, at the times we talked, you know, he seemed okay. You know, he checked on me and checked on the family. We really haven't talked about the labor arrest. You know, he just said, you know, we're going to see what's going to happen, you know, when it's time. Figure out what's going on, and that's what he's doing, just being patient and waiting for that.
Are you going to get out and cheer Hines on in person?
Well, you know, Troy and I are supposed to go. He's actually not in California right now, so when Troy gets back to California, we're going to go. I was a little nervous early because I didn't know how good Hines would be, but it seems like he's going to be around a while, so I'm sure I'm going to get out there and try to catch him.
Now, what do you do this time of year as a sports fan? Because I know you watch, obviously, a ton of NFL on Monday Night Football and whatever it may be, and also you're a big college basketball fan. But now all that's over. Are you into baseball? Are you going to watch the NHL playoffs? Do you have an interest right now in sports?
I'm watching basketball. I mean, you know, the NBA is getting a little bit interesting right now. You know, teams are rounded in the fall. I'm trying to pay attention to baseball a little bit, but they play so many games. It's not even the time to really watch it. I will watch the Penguins. I don't watch much hockey because I don't really understand it. But it's always exciting when you live in a city with a great tradition in any other sport. So I definitely watch the Demons, and, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, Sidney Crosby gets the opportunity to come back. It's really been a tough situation to see someone go through, you know, what he's going through with that concussion after, you know, being so close to it with guys on my team and guys in the NFL. You know, so praying that he gets the opportunity to come back to play. I mean, he's the best player in the league. Well, I may be a little biased because I live in Pittsburgh, but I think he is. And, you know, to see the Pittsburgh Penguins make another run would be awesome.
Now, are you a Lakers guy, a Heat guy, a Celtics guy?
I'm a Lakers guy. Everybody okay. knows that, man.
I thought so with the tweets, Kobe, yeah.
I am a Kobe guy. And, you know, the Lakers, man, I don't know, sometimes they just frustrate me.
If they won a couple of championships here, how can they be frustrating you?
Because, you know, I'm like a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm spoiled. Yeah. I feel like we're supposed to win it every year. You know, every time the Steelers lose a game, it's tragedy. The sky is falling, and that's how I feel right now. Now, you know, the Lakers had a very good run. I think they were, you know, trying to make a push to be the number one seed, and kind of when that fell through, I think they put it in the cruise control, kind of going into the playoffs, and, you know, they feel like they're one of those teams that can hit the switch and begin to play well. So we will see. You know, we'll have a long playoff series, and, you know, we'll figure it out.
Ryan, thanks for the time, as always, and we'll see you in here soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one.